The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
So in the last part of the 3rd chapter, just preceding this reading, Jesus has just been baptized. And while he is praying, and this keeps popping up, I keep seeing this phrase that he's praying all these things. Last week he had been praying, he's up praying. Be attentive with me. Help me see that this more as we go through Luke. I'm detecting a theme here. So he has been baptized. While he's praying, the heavens open. The Holy Spirit descends upon him, and a voice from heaven declared Jesus to be God's Son, the Beloved. And so it is Jesus, Son of God, Beloved, full of the Holy Spirit, who is led by that same Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness, a place of barrenness, wind and sand, with only his identity post-baptism to sustain him, hungry, with nothing but rocks around to eat, alone, except for the diabolo, the devil, the accuser, the slanderer. And in the face of the accuser, Jesus wins. Diabolo leaves until another time. Now, often this text is used to hold up Jesus as a moral example to us. Anybody remember the WWJD movement and the bracelets? Okay, what would Jesus do? Right? That reflects this understanding of Jesus. When you need to know how to act, just do what Jesus did. So when you're tempted, be like Jesus. Well, it strikes me that this use of the text, this understanding of Jesus as moral role model, really is a prime example of what Martin Luther called the law. And I'm using a capital L for that. The law, Luther said, has words in it like must, have to, should. They're words of command. And the reality of the law is that we will always fall short of fulfilling it. We'll sneak that little extra into our purse or pantry because we don't trust that God will provide. We'll demand that God show us what's really going on at this moment because we don't trust without fully understanding. And we'll do all these things that make us human, that make us not Jesus. And while the law has its uses, and we'll talk about some of those as we go through Luther's small catechism, it's not what saves us. Our striving, our trusting, our doing better cannot save us. because we'll always fall short of what the law requires. That's the reality expressed in Luther's understanding of the third article of the Creed. I cannot, by my own understanding or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Rather, the good news, the gospel is that Jesus is not our moral example, but our Savior. The good news is that Jesus is not us. Now, Martin Luther remarks that one of the things that this text does is it instructs us about who Jesus is, that he is our Savior. He is the one who freed us from our own sin through his own hunger and fasting in the wilderness, through his victory over temptation, through his trusting in God and God's promise, through his refusal to test God, through his refusal to trust in his own power. Jesus did these things we cannot, so that he might do what God sent him to do. Heal the sick. Release the captives. Let the oppressed go free, so that he might be our Savior. And that's the good news, thanks be to God. And now, since we don't have to worry about our salvation in these situations, what do we do when we're confronted with these same temptations? Do we just blithely give in to them and say, well, all right, it doesn't matter because, you know I can't do this anyway and I've already been saved, so why bother? Well, by no means. If anything, knowing that we are saved by Jesus, not through anything that we do, frees us so that we might strive to do the same, even knowing we'll fall short. Because what do we got to lose? Nothing. And what do we have to gain? Well, we become more fully who God has created us to be. And thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to strive to do these things. I cannot by my own understanding or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and keeps me in the one true faith. We too are in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit, the one that has come upon us in baptism. And we walk in this wilderness accompanied by that Spirit and bearing the identity we were given at the font as child of God. And Jesus shows us in this passage the power that resides in that identity, child of God. And in the faith that is given to us through the Holy Spirit that comes upon us there, because that same identity and spirit rest upon him. A couple of things to note in our text. Diabolo does not deny Jesus' identity. Second thing is, Diabolo quotes Scripture. That's the wiliness of the slanderer, of the accuser, the tempter, using just enough of what is true to try and get us to deny who we are, to deny who God is. Hey, Jesus, you're the Son of God, right? Just zap those rocks into some bread, man. Aren't you really hungry? 40 days of fast and all. Hey, Jesus, look at all those kingdoms of the world. Now they've been given over to me, and I'll give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. I mean, think of all the good that you could do if you had power over them. Hey, Jesus, you're sitting on Daddy's house. Just throw yourself off me. Because it says nothing's going to happen to you. Haven't you ever wondered about that? Don't you just want to see what'll happen? I mean, there's nothing really unreasonable about any of these things, is there? I mean, if you're hungry, you've got the ability to use a little power you have to change things so that you can get something to eat. That's okay, right? What harm does it do to kneel down to Diablo when there's all this good that you can do when you have power over the nations? It's natural to want to test out these promises of God, right? After all, how do you know if they're true if you don't test them? And it'd be so easy for Jesus to do these things because he is the Son of God. But just like we will see later in the text, and we have already heard in the lectionary, Jesus redefines what it means to be beloved, Son of God. It means not making use of the power that he has to be in solidarity with us who are human. The text says, one who does not live by bread alone, but literally it says, humans do not live by bread alone. And in so saying, Jesus is in effect saying, and I am human. He claims that part of his identity now. And what that means is having faith in God alone, trusting in God's promise that we will have daily bread, which Martin Luther defines as everything that we need to sustain us. It means remembering who is God and who is not. As the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods. Luther reminds us that our God is the thing which we fear, love, and trust the most, the thing we believe will save us. Worship, trust God alone. It means having faith, trust, that what God says is true without testing it first, because that is the very definition of faith, of trust. And because the Son of God did all these things, we don't have to. And because the Son of God did all these things, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we too can strive each day to resist those temptations that creep into our lives. The temptation to believe we will be saved if we only get enough stuff, or money, or shelter, or food, rather than trust that in all things God provides our daily bread, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and to remember that as the body of Christ, we might be the means by which someone receives that daily bread. The temptation to believe that if we bow down to another god, power, control, position, wealth, then we can make the world better. Then we won't have to worry because we're in charge. Rather than remember it is the God who created all that is this world, the blue sky that is behind the gray above us, the green grass that lies underneath the snow around us. This is the one who is in charge. That it is this God whose love is expressed for us in Jesus. The temptation to not trust in that same God, to constantly ask why and to push always to know entirely, forgetting that in so doing we are seeking to know the mind of God, to in effect be God, seems to me Adam and Eve made that mistake. Rather than relax and trust in the one who gave each of us life, who created this world and sustains us, who provides everything we need. Ultimately, all these temptations come back to one thing. Lack of trust in God and God's promise to us. Promises to provide, to protect, to love, to care for. Promises that as we trust, life will be better than life without that trust. I believe, help my unbelief. It's one of my favorite verses. It's the cry of the father of the epileptic boy that Jesus encounters as he comes down the mountain after the transfiguration. It is my cry, I know. I believe, I trust, help my unbelief, help my untrust, my distrust. And perhaps that is the best good news that comes to us today, that in our imperfect trust of God, when we give in to temptation, we know we can cry out to Jesus, I believe, I trust, help me trust more. Help me trust better. And that Jesus hears. And that our imperfection in him is made perfect. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful hope to cling to. Please pray with me. Oh Lord Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help us, for the temptations of this world are many, to trust in our own power to provide, to believe that we should be in control, to sit in judgment of God in God's ways. Forgive us when we fall into these temptations, and renew in us a right spirit, one that trusts always in your grace, your mercy, your love to guide us. Amen.